Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9, so much more than a producer. Live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I'm struggling a little bit this morning, night one of the NBA. I need training camp. I'm tired.
Yeah, would you like to get the beard stuff out of the way first?
Well, I don't like my beard's been weird all week, too. I'm really self-conscious about it. I'm going to keep moving up this microphone so I block it.
Kelly goes into profile, go profile against the black background and so people can see that you have hairs that are completely out of place. Maybe they can see it. Yeah, I think you can see it. There's one that they can totally see, and that's driving Kelly up a wall.
Yeah, it's driving me crazy. I'm better. Yeah. I'm better than this. I owe the audience better than this.
You do. You owe the audience.
And I apologize.
A more kempt beard.
Yes, I do.
All right. I'm glad we got that out of the way. Yep. So he's going to walk around and shame the rest of the day. On the show today, we got Mark Borchardt coming up, talk World Series. We're looking for someone to take the Yankee side of things.
Mark might be our guy.
We're just going to keep rolling through baseball guests until we get one. Jason's later, so we know that. Jason wants you to know he's not a Dodgers fan, but he's going to be on the Dodgers. Trust me. JVT's here to talk NBA with us and other sports as well, correct?
Yeah.
All over the place with JVT today. Then most wins, fewest wins, National Basketball Association, plus some NFL power rankings. Paul Carr on the Premier League. And then, at some point during the show, let's say halfway through, right at the top of the next hour, we're going to talk election betting with Rufus Peabody. Unabated sports. And let me just say this in advance. This is something we did on a numbers game through the 2020 election cycle. We did a segment or two earlier about a month ago. We haven't done one in about a month.
Yeah.
And I'm just pulling back the curtain here just to let you know, this is becoming increasingly more difficult to talk about in this country, even though we're here apolitically to make money. So it's an exercise in, you know, people are super polarized when it comes to politics, obviously, and people tend to hear what they want to hear. So I just want to say in advance, we're doing it apolitically. I hope everyone takes it in the spirit that it is meant, and I hope we're still friends afterwards.
Good job.
I hope we're friends afterwards because it is intended for everybody to make money, not for one political stance or another. So Rufus is about as level-headed on this stuff as it gets. And what I really want to get into it with him, and I won't give it away, but the whole thing, but it's a little bit different this election cycle in the way that last time, what flummoxed bettors was the night of the election.
Mm-hmm.
People read the Electoral College wrong and some people ended up losing a lot of money. This year, it's the pre-flop. Polls, index markets with polls, index polling, I should say, and the markets, the betting markets themselves that reflect that. And it might not reflect reality. So we'll get into all that with Rufus coming up on the show. I want to start, though, with obviously a big trade in the National Football League. DeAndre Hopkins goes from the Tennessee Titans to the Kansas City Chiefs, the back-to-back Super Bowl champions. So DeAndre Hopkins, for a conditional fourth-round pick, well, it's a fifth that could become a fourth, in other words. And I think my first reaction to that was what probably a lot of people had was, that's it? And if that was your team, we would never have gotten him for that amount. DeAndre Hopkins to the Kansas City Chiefs, and let's just keep in mind this, you know, as Amari Cooper went to the Buffalo Bills, and prior to that, Devontae Adams goes to the New York Jets, the Chiefs were sitting there saying, yeah, no, we're good. Well, they're not good, and we all kind of knew they weren't good. Rashee Rice with the injury in week four, that was season-ending. Hollywood Brown in the preseason with the shoulder injury, of course, and then just last week, Juju with the hamstring injury. That ruled him out of the game this past week against the ruled him out for Sunday's game against the Raiders, I should say, this coming Sunday. So they obviously needed a receiver, and Hopkins is your guy. 12-year veteran, 5 Pro Bowls, obviously with the Texans and the Cardinals, more famously before he was with the Titans. With the Titans, remember, he suffered a torn MCL during the offseason, recovered in time for the season opener, but really hasn't been that great. 15 catches for 173 yards, a touchdown in six games this season. But again, you're going from Billy Levi's and Mason Rudolph to someone I like to call Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
So upgrade on that. And if you're going by recent history of how the Chiefs have acquired wide receivers during the season, they don't win that Super Bowl against Philly without Kadarius Toney, probably. And who caught the game-winning touchdown last year against the Eagles? So it was Kadarius Toney. And who caught the game-winning touchdown against the Niners last year in overtime? It was Mecole Hardman. Both of those guys were midseason acquisitions. So here they go. And they got themselves some DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, and I think no matter what you think about Hopkins and where he's at in his career, this is a, like you said, it's an upgrade. It's an upgrade from what they had. And then you just look at track record of what they've done with some of those names. This is a bigger name, better player that they're bringing in, even at age 32. I guess I was a little shocked to see how productive of a season he had last year just with Tennessee.
Yeah.
I mean, over 1,000 yards receiving for him, 75 catches, played in every single game last year for Tennessee. So, look, this is, I think we could talk about some of these other receiver moves and what do they mean for the big picture. Like Amari Cooper, and what do they mean for these other teams? The Chiefs are already the best team in the NFL, and we know they were very depleted at wide receiver.
It's incredible.
This is an upgrade.
Look at it this way. The only two healthy wideouts they still had left, we're talking about Justin Watson and Xavier Worthy, combined 22 catches through week 7. So this is the, of all trades that, you know, when people say flippantly, oh, that makes sense. This makes more sense than anything ever.
Yeah. Yep.
And the Chiefs, who are already the last undefeated, get DeAndre Hopkins in the fold. So the rich get richer, as they say, in the National Football League, and that can only be a good thing. There's no downside to this for the Chiefs, who look to get the three-peat for the first time in the Super Bowl era. That's what they're chasing, and they look to be poised to do that even more so now than they were 24 hours ago. NBA had a couple games last night to tip off the season. Kelly, I'm curious about your reaction to both of these ball games. First of all, the Celtics go 29 of 61 from behind the arc and crush the New York Knicks, a game that they led by as many as 35 points. So much so, by the way, that in the middle of the game, the crowd was chanting "Yankees suck," which seems a little off topic to me. Seems a little off topic, but, you know, they were kind of bored, I guess. But the Celtics, 29 made three-pointers, ties the all-time NBA record. At one point, they were 29 of 48, and they ended up missing their last 13 from behind the arc trying to break that record. So my only question to you is, because obviously both teams involved in that cat trade were there last night, the Knicks against the Celtics and then the T-Wolves against the Lakers. I'll ask you about that in a minute. Mm-hmm. But the Celtics, just this, you know, this felt like it was an emphasis from Joe Mazzulla, your defending champs, and it's carte blanche again to be like, guys, just go crazy from three.
Yeah.
And if you're making that many, what's my line about, you know, the NFL, if you can just show me the turnover column and a box score, I can pretty much tell you who won the game. In the NBA, it's just show me the three-point stats. And if you're making this many threes, you're never losing.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking the Knicks went 11 for 30, and then the Celtics 29 for 61. I mean, you're putting up more than double. And it's
61 attempts.
Right, 61 attempts, yes. And this extends, I mean, I think it's we always talk about the three ball with them, but it always starts with defense and with Boston Celtics. That's where we know it starts, and it's everybody out there playing it. But I think it is. It's something different this year, too, no matter what people want to say. When you get a pissed off Tatum and Brown coming into the year, like they got all summer to see how the basketball world views them. And for Jaylen Brown, it was you're not good enough for the Olympics. Even though when role players, you know, Derek White and Drew Holiday can make the team, and Tatum, we got to put you on the team, but you're not leaving the bench ever. This is what the rest of the basketball world thinks of you two. And you get the whole season now for Brown and Tatum to play pretty pissed off with the best team in the league.
You think Derek White showed up for the preseason with like shades on, like, how you guys doing? Like Mr. Olympics? What's happening?
I actually love that basketball's evolved to that point that we can appreciate quality role players like that. But yeah.
Let me ask you about that because you point that out. I mean, Jason Tatum, will that be the narrative? By the way, you never want to overreact to anything after one game, and we won't try to with the other stuff. But with the Celtics, this is actually an opening salvo, I think.
Yes.
It's like, okay, not only were the champs, but you got us mad in the whole Olympics narrative, and we're going to hoist threes all day long. And Tatum with his 37 points, I do wonder if we're going to look back at Steve Kerr benching him in that Serbia game, and that's going to be a thing all year. We're like, shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have done that.
Well, see, I think it's still a tall mountain for him to climb to win MVP this year. I think that's going to be very tough. The Knicks, though, I know it's one game. It's one game.
See, that this is the part where I'm like, we shouldn't overreact.
It's one
to
game.
Yeah.
But a little concerning on some stuff. I think the defense that was so great last year, you make these switches to go a little bit more offensive heavy. I mean, they were hunting Cat so much early on in that first half.
He only took 2 3-point shots.
Yep.
Made one.
Yep.
Only ended up with 12 points. So about that. So while the Knicks lost there, then obviously the Lakers, and by the way, congratulations, LeBron and your son, you had your moment. LeBron's dream has come true. Wonderful.
Wait, two moments real quick. Did you end of the Celtics game? Did you have a problem with that at all?
Which part?
Any of with the threes trying to break the record?
No, I didn't.
I didn't at all. But like, I think you got to draw the line of we're going to stop shooting these at like a minute left.
I thought it was, or
try to the end. Why did they pull up last possession? Pritchard, they were like, we're going to dribble it.
Peyton Pritchard pulled up at the end.
Yeah, you're like, just shoot, man.
Timberwolves get beat by the Lakers. Is this okay? So since you had some reaction to the Knicks,
yeah.
Do you have a reaction to the Timberwolves side of things? Or is this just a case of if AD wants to go, what was he, 36-16? What was he exactly in this game? Then nothing matters, really. Same way that if the Celtics hit all those three, nothing really matters.
Yeah,
by the way,
AD's that good. Yeah.
AD, 36-16, yes.
Yeah, 13-15 from the free throw line. That sticks out. Rudy Gobert, he had some struggles on the night. It picked up right where he left off last year, it felt like.
If you're worried about the Knicks, though, are you worried about the Timberwolves?
Not as much. Again, one game, I'm not really worried about either one. I think they're both going to be there in the playoffs at the end, but it was more concerning what I saw in New York last year.
Yeah. Can we get that from AD consistently, though?
No,
of course not.
No, because he's going to tweak his ankle tomorrow.
He's going to have an injury, then we're going to watch the replay, and we're not going to figure out how he got injured.
Exactly.
That's what's going to happen. Mark Borchardt, maybe the Yankees? That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We got a Sports Equinox special. Sports Equinox, when all four major sports are in action, there's no better time of year to be a sports bettor. With our new Sports Equinox special, there's no better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now. Get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120. That includes daily best bets, betting splits, and our exclusive betting content for the World Series, college football, the rest of the NFL season, March Madness, the NBA and NHL regular seasons, and the NFL Draft. All for less than $20 a month. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. And we got a really nice one from Warrior013, Matt, Warrior13. Said, after roughly a year without it, I now have VSiN back on my TV and I get to watch my all-time favorite host, Gil, and he's called you a sidekick, Kelly Bidlin. he says, I've been with Gil since day one. Let's go.
Let's
glad
go.
To have you back, yeah. Matt. We appreciate it very much. And then somebody else commented. He goes, look at that hairline. Thanks. Appreciate it. I think I noticed things that you don't.
I caught that tweet. I actually didn't know what it meant, Gil. I didn't know what it meant.
I did, but, again, I thank you. From Kane, plan to have the watch live option on for today's show. Had to switch it to listen live after the Bidlin hair airtime debacle.
I understand. I completely understand. It's a better day to listen.
Yeah. Riley Grannon. Riley likes the election betting. He says, looking forward to hearing Rufus discuss election betting on the show this morning. Hope pros cons of Nate Silver are discussed. We will. Also, pro cons of using Florida results for live betting would be a good topic. GOP likely to double winning margin again. We're going to get into a whole bunch of things with election, Riley. We'll try to hit on as many things as you would like to. But, we'll see where Rufus wants to go with it as well. Let's talk some World Series. We are desperately looking for someone who wants to bet the Yankee side of this World Series, which is strange because this show is a little different from just sort of anecdotally all the previews I've read about it because it has a Yankees bent to it. We lean on Mark Borchardt to try to get some sense from all of this. He's courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, as always. You can follow him on Twitter at BaseWinner, basewinner.com, from an undisclosed location in the desert. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing good, Gil. Looking forward to this World Series. It's been, you know, the playoffs series, the Yankees won, only went five games, but it was really exciting. I thought that was a really good series. And then I thought the Mets Dodgers was fun to watch, at least.
Paul Spohr and I were saying yesterday, both of us were saying on the show, this is not a World Series matchup we wanted necessarily based on our bets, but now that it's here, it's kind of cool that this is it with all the star power. Obviously, it's the most traditional matchup. It's the 12th time these two franchises meet in a World Series. And I'm curious how you land on this based on the series price and game one specifically.
I mean, it's pretty much a pick'em for me. In fact, I went down and individually capped each game based on projected starting pitchers, and I've never seen this before. It comes down to 49.9% for the Dodgers, so it's right at +100. I modeled it with simulations too, and then that came out to 48.7% for the Yankees. So the Dodgers it's 50-50 basically, depending on what you're looking at. And the one thing, if you look at the games individually, well, what changes that percentage is the Dodgers aren't quite as good versus left-handed pitching. They're still number three in baseball, but number one versus right-handed pitching, Gil, and then the Yankees are number two versus right and left-handed pitching. So you have the best offenses in baseball. I'm not really that convinced on these bullpens. I think that there's a couple guys that are good at the top there for both teams, but I have these teams like on the top 15, but barely there, Gil.
So if we're to break it down, if we do the old check marks, the old Jimmy the Greek, Brent Musburger check marks thing on NFL Today, offense, so batting order, I guess your lineup, check mark Dodgers, starting pitching, check mark Yankees, bullpen is a wash. Is that what you're saying?
Basically, it's a wash all over the board. I mean, there's not that much of a gap in any of this stuff, and that's what's kind of cool about this is not only do I have it modeled as a pick'em, I think it's a pick'em inherently. You know, the way that I handicap games, Gil.
Okay, so I guess that means you lean Yankees based on the price, or not enough to trigger a bet.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's like, hey, if you can get +110 and you want to bet I think you bet for me, if you want to make a bet, the values with the Yankees, or you could just do stuff, you know, during the series. I think there's a couple plays for me that look at least intriguing.
Okay, Gil, let's hear about those. What do you got?
Well, I think these games are going to go. I think it's going to either go six or seven games, and I've got it priced about -200. I saw it like at -190. I mean, it's not much value, but it's a little bit of value. I like the stolen base leader, Ohtani. I think you can get that +165. At least you can get it over at BetUS for +165. And I think that's a good idea there. And yeah, I mean, those are the two best. I think it's going to go a lot, and maybe play runs here too. I think it's over 51.5 for series runs. I think it's going to go a long series. And I think there's going to be some games where you're going to see Honeywell. You're going to see these guys in the back end of the bullpen for the Yankees. I just don't have rated very good. You got the guys for the Dodgers. You have like Brazier. I don't really like Conley for the Yankees. I've got him like 10% worse than an average pitcher. You're looking at a Conley 21.4% strikeout rate, 11.6 walk rate. I don't think that's very exciting. Then you got Henriquez Kasparias, which is a good name for like a Spartan, but not a good pitcher. I've got him 11% worse than average. Hudson, Mize, and Honeywell Jr. too. So all these guys are worse than average. And I think what could happen in some of these games is that they're going to have a short leash. I think that you rate the starting pitchers on the five inning rating, what they've done over five innings, because these guys are pulling these guys out. But what's going to happen is they're going to make an aggressive move, and then it's going to backfire, and then they're going to go to these guys who are worse than average pitchers, I guess is the best thing you can say. And I think there'll be some games where you'll see a team get double digit run skill.
Okay, so let's review those again. Mark likes the series to go. There's a little value on the series going six games, not for the Dodgers to win 4-2 or the Yankees to win 4-2, but six games just period, right?
To at least go over 5.5.
Over 5.5. Okay, yeah. Let's be clear. Over 5.5 is at -190. You say there's some value there. I'm sorry, say again. Yeah.
A little bit of value. Yeah,
a little bit of value.
Price at -200. Right?
Ohtani, most stolen bases has a little bit of value, and you do like the over in terms of the total run environment, all the total runs in the entire series, because Mark thinks it's going to be a long series, and your point taken about the Dodgers bullpen, because I think that's, I said this yesterday too, that is the path, right? For, to me, the Yankees' path is, if they can get the patience they've gotten from guys not named Judge, Stanton, or Soto, right? From the Torreses and the Volpes of the world. And then they can see those relievers more than once, right? That was the key to those other series, is that those batters on the Padres and the Mets didn't get to see those relievers more than, you know, multiple times. So
sometimes the game got out of hand, and then like these guys are like, well, I don't want them to see my best guys. I'm not going to put a 7-0 game. I'm not going to put in,
right.
My setup 7-8, you know, I don't want them to see them. And so like I don't think we'll see a position player pitch, but maybe we could. I mean, you know, it's all about winning the series, not winning in an individual game. So I think that over 51.5, you can get it at -115. I think that's a good idea, Gil.
All right. What about now? Here's one that's, you know, listen, we sort of smile when we talk about, you know, awards like MVPs in any series, any short series. All these series are short when it comes to something like this. So this is more of a stab than it is anything like super quantifiable. But do you delve into the World Series MVP market at all?
Not really, but there is one that I'd like, and I just want to make sure I get the right price on it. But I'm speaking off the top of my head, but Muncy to have the most hits in this series is 30-1. I mean, that's a good play, Gil.
Muncy to have the most hits in the series, 30-1. Okay, I like it. You're digging deep on this.
Yeah, I mean, you almost have to. I think for me, it's interesting because you can, like, during the baseball season, you couldn't do this.
No.
And so like these games, you can kind of look into like a storyline and create a hypothesis and see if the stats back that up. The other one thing I do want to say too, which is an interesting when I was looking at all these stats. So Yankees, I do fly ball percentage last 150 plate appearances. They're starting pitching, for long story short, they're high fly ball pitchers over that period of time. And so you think, well, this is going to be a lot of home runs for the Dodgers. But you go to the Dodgers, and the Baseball Reference does this really well. They do versus fly ball pitchers versus ground ball pitchers versus a combination of pitchers. And the Dodgers' worst split is versus fly ball pitchers, about 50 points worse from an OPS standpoint. So I don't know what to make of that, but that was interesting research when I was taking the game in, Gil.
And you weren't necessarily looking for that you just sort of stumbled on that little
detail. I was looking at the fly ball percentage for the starters, the Yankee starters. I was like, wow, that's pretty high. Well, there's gonna be a lot of home runs, so I go to the Dodgers breakdown versus fly ball pitchers, and I was hoping that they would be the number one so you'd play home runs, but they're not. That's their worst split, Gil.
Mark, excellent analysis. Unique analysis as always. We appreciate it.
Sorry, no music references today, but maybe next week.
Yo. Hey, you're slacking, man. we'll get you next time. Mark Borchardt, everybody, at Base Winner. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. JVT next, NBA, his World Series thoughts, his football thoughts, all next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market, or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted, introducing Sporttrade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. -104 lines instead of the typical -110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. Sporttrade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, and now Arizona. Coming to Virginia soon. Download Sporttrade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Fernando Valenzuela passed away yesterday, Kelly.
Yeah, I saw that.
Fernando Valenzuela passing away at the age of 63. For those of a certain age, you will remember Fernando Mania in 1981. 1981 happens to be the last time the Yankees and the Dodgers met in a World Series. It was a split season because of the strike, and the Dodgers beat the Yankees the last time that these two teams met in the World Series. But that year, Fernando won NL Cy Young and Rookie of the Year, won both of them. And at one point during the season was 8-0, including 5 shutouts and a 0.50 ERA.
That is wild.
You ever, you've got to watch the 30 for 30 if you haven't.
Yeah, I've seen that one, yeah.
Richard Palma, we get tweets, we get texts. Richard Palma texts in. He says, how's this? Game 6, if it goes that far in L.A., is going to be Friday, November 1st. Mexican holiday Dia de los Muertos starts November 1st, I guess November 1st and 2nd. Fernando's birthday would have been November 1st, 64 years old. He said, those are storylines for why it will end Dodgers in 6. He said all of those things, if you believe in that kind of thing. So there you go. JVT joins us, everybody. He is our senior NBA analyst, but I'd like him to chime in on the World Series as well real quick. Comes to us courtesy of Progressive Guest Line, and of course, host of VSiN Prime Time as well. How you doing, John?
Good, excited. This, as we have called it for our special, right, the Sports Equinox, everything is active, man. This is a cool time to be a sports fan.
What do you think, Dodgers or Yankees?
It's Dodgers. I did lay $1.25. I'm laughing because I obviously was listening to you guys earlier. You're looking for Yankees opinions. You will not find one here. I put this the other day. I'm at the point where I kind of have some blind faith in this Dodgers lineup. Like, they've been really impressive from top to bottom. It's not just like one or two guys contributing. And I feel like they can get to almost any pitcher that's put in front of them at this point right now. And look, there is some like some volatility there, especially when you're trusting an offense in baseball, which is a weird and stupid sport. They could just spend four games hitting it straight to defenders and I get screwed. But I really trust the depth of this lineup to overcome some, I'll call it some average pitching at this point that they've gotten from their starters. But they've gotten some good spot starts out of guys, right? We saw that in New York, Walker Buehler went out there, giving four strong innings. We know the closeout game against the Padres, Yamamoto stepped up. Flaherty does have some high end here. So I do think this team can get enough out of their pitching and out of their bullpen, which they're going to need. And this lineup is great that it's going to be enough to win this series against the Yankees.
Dodgers in?
Six.
Six. But not betting.
Not yet. Because of those. Not yeah. Because of what you were saying. that was my thought before.
Yeah. Okay. Dodgers in six. To the NBA. Obviously, we don't want to overreact to one night's NBA games. It was only two games. But I made the case in the first segment that I actually think the Celtics shooting 61 times from behind the arc actually is a thing. I'm curious if you had a bigger reaction, choices being Celtics going nuts from three, obviously tying the record for made threes, Timberwolves, Knicks trade quick one game reactions, or just the fact that if AD goes 36-16, the Lakers are going to be awesome no matter what.
Yeah, I think the big takeaway, like you mentioned, I think the shooting is something here for Boston. Now, I should know, and like right yesterday, they were very clearly chasing that record, right? For those who didn't know,
yes.
They had tied a single game record for most made threes. And at the end of that game, they were chucking, trying as hard as they possibly could. So, you know, the total amount of threes, you're probably a little bit on the high end there. Probably won't get that many. But still, I thought it was impressive. And I talked to Matt about this on the show yesterday while it was going on. The sheer volume of threes that Boston hits, they only shot about 50% from three. On the surface, it's a really good game. Obviously, but it's not like 70%. They just hit you with overwhelming volume that even a 50% shooting night feels like this torrential downpour that you're never going to be able to overcome. And this is just what this team's going to be. And so when they're fully healthy, when Porzingis is back, there is no question that they're the best team in the NBA. And I would just note really quickly for New York, I think it's going to be slow. There's a reason why it's a little bit lower on them. You just don't really like their depth. Again, like the center position behind Cat is a complete nightmare. I don't think their guard position outside of Miles McBride behind Jalen Brunson is very strong. And you saw that transpire. And by the way, Mikal Bridges in that weird, funky jump shot did not look great yesterday either. So I think there's some things that you just write down for New York that I think is going to be a slower start than most expected, but they'll be fine by the end of the year.
Yeah, and Gil, back to your point kind of on the volume of threes too. I mean, JVT, I think it was over 50% basically the entire game for the Knicks from the field. They finished 55%, never stood a chance. I mean, you never stood a chance.
Oh, Kelly, and they missed 13 straight at one point when they were hunting for that final, that three-point attempt, when they were just chucking a bomb.
If you were wearing a Celtics jersey, they would have let you take a shot from three out there last night. That's how it was going down the stretch.
What about tonight? Full volume of games tonight. What do you think?
Yeah, so there's a lot that I've actually bet here. The problem is, you know, I was betting it in like the 2 weeks before the regular season began, and there was a couple of games. So I'll start with a couple of them. First off, you know, I did, and this is going to be the article, I did lay 4.5 with the Cavaliers. I wouldn't say no to lay into 6 right now if it pops back up here. We know that injury-wise that these Toronto Raptors are pretty thin. We know that Kelly Olynyk isn't going to play in this game among some of the other players for them. RJ Barrett, Bruce Brown. I think that the Raptors might be a team that we're looking at here that by the end of the year, I think the the term is to hashtag SAG for Flag. Toronto might be one of those guys that is going down there and trying to do that for Cooper Flag at the top of the draft. And I think it starts here with sitting some of these guys out. But on the other end, I think Cavaliers are going to be a really good regular season team. Remember last year, Gil, they were about 40-20. They went on a massive run that was sparked by a game. I think it was out in Paris or wherever they played. That really, it looked like they were going to be a top three seed in the Eastern Conference, but the injuries just completely obliterated them. They fall apart, and then we know what happens from there. I think this is going to be a really strong year for Cleveland. I think Atkinson's a great coach. I think they're going to be a bet on team early, so I kind of took that route. Again, late 4.5 early, still think six is playable if you want to get there. You know, over the last 3 years, six has been the most likely outcome in these NBA games. It's floating around that key number range. So six, you maybe get a higher protection in terms of some of the push there, but I think six is worth it. The other game that I ended up playing here too, let's see. Oh, Suns Clippers under 225. Don't feel as confident here. The market's moved against me. It looked like it was solid. Actually went down to 223.5. It's upwards of 225.5 now. Simple thought process is that I don't think the Clippers are going to be a good offensive team, but I do think they're going to be a good defensive team. And I think the thing that they're going to try to do on offense is really factor in Ivica Zubac a lot, right? They don't have a ton of shot creators. So I think what their offense is going to be is just spamming James Harden, Ivica Zubac pick and rolls and trying to get that working. Now that could end up in some Harden step back 3-point attempts and getting to the rim, getting to the free throw line. But that also means posting up Zubac, getting him lob opportunities. I think this is going to be a team that's really reliant on pressuring the rim and getting a lot of 2-point shots as opposed to be able to shoot from three. So that's going to be something to monitor. And like I mentioned, I think they're going to be good defensively. I just don't think they're going to carry their end of the bargain in a lot of these games offensively. So play that again, under 225. We're up to 225.5. So I would say under 225.5 is playable as well. And then that's about it for today. I do have Bucks plus 3.5, but obviously that thing's long gone. That was well before the injury news for the 76ers, which is absolutely incredible from a narrative standpoint.
By the way, I should be accurate. 10 NBA games tonight. Not a full slate, but 10 NBA games. SAG for flag or lag for flag? I think SAG. You're probably right. SAG for flag. I think that's
it sounds like pretty, I don't know, either one. It's, you got to find something more creative. I think we got to do something.
There's better options.
We'll workshop it. We'll spitball some stuff coming up. Real quick before we get off basketball, remind us what your most sort of outlying JVT opinion is heading into this season, just sort of macro.
I mean, I don't know if it's outlying, but I will say, I don't know if I've heard a ton. I think Drew is in on like his love for the Warriors. So you guys can correct me on that.
Yes.
Like, I really do like Golden State a lot. I think that the more I've looked at this team and what they're doing, you know, I'm really excited to see them today against Portland, because if you saw at the end of the preseason, it looks like their new starting lineup is going to be Steph Curry, Jonathan Kuminga, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, and Trayce Jackson-Davis. So you have like these three big, rangy, switchable guards defensively and wing players that you could do a lot with on the defensive end of the floor while maintaining the ability to run, get up and down the floor, have some athleticism, get out in transition, and still have some balance when it comes to your shooting. Now, you're going to have to get Kuminga to really step it up from a shooting standpoint. Same thing with Wiggins, who's coming off of a career worst year, and that's been said by Kerr. He wants him to put up more threes. He wants him to be more commanding in terms of his three-point shot. But I think that team's going to be really, really good, and I think that they are going to push for like a top six seed in the Western Conference. I think they can be a playoff team without getting into the play-in, and I think that's probably the most outlier is my confidence that the Warriors can go out there and get this done, be a playoff team this year.
Yeah, for those who are criticizing the Warriors for not making a big acquisition this offseason, Steph said yesterday, goes, no one wants to make us better. That's why we can't do it. It's not that easy for us. Real quick before you go, your favorite NFL and or college play?
We're going to go and we're going to wait. It popped up yesterday. It disappeared. But Gil, some are saying Friday night over at Allegiant Stadium, it is the biggest game in UNLV football history.
Some are saying.
And I think UNLV is going to deliver. Look, every single week, the general consensus is that UNLV is in a tough spot. Maybe the market's too high. They constantly deliver. They went out there to Corvallis over the weekend, came back, held Oregon State to 8 points, came out one and covered as a touchdown favorite on the road. They are one of the better offenses in the country. They are a very good defense. I think that this team is going to be ready to go. So I'm going to bet 3 if 3.5 doesn't become available, but I'm holding out. UNLV 3.5 popped up yesterday, hoping I can get it again this week, and I will bet the Rebels on Friday night.
Wow. Taking the points with the Rebels against Boise State and Ashton Gentry. All right. JVT, appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, guys.
At me, JVT, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Check him out on VSiN Primetime. And, of course, our senior NBA analyst. We'll come back. We'll talk about most wins in the NBA. We'll talk about fewest wins. And our NFL power rankings. Change is afoot. That's on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.